الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو يتولى الصالحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Among the famous 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one very special name is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is Al-Wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wali, and the meaning of this word Al-Wali in Arabic is huwa al-maliku lil-ashya'i wal-mutawalli laha. Wali refers to that being who is the owner of things, malik of things, wal mutawalli laha, and is the caretaker, is the guardian. So this word al-wali and mutawalli, they go together. And the meaning of this word is guardian or a caretaker. Guardian means that being who's responsible for fulfilling the needs of someone. And secondly, to be responsible for that person's profit and loss. To give a simple example, a father is the guardian of his son. So therefore, whatever the needs of the child may be, whether the needs are related to his health or his studies or his clothes, his food, his education, whatever the needs are, the father is responsible for fulfilling the needs of his son. And in the same way, if he happens to gain some profit or suffer a loss, so the father will be responsible for that. Father will have to pay for that loss. When we were young, we used to play cricket, and we noticed this on several occasions, that one of our friends used to break the neighbor's glass by throwing a stone or hitting the ball. And then it was demanded of that father that you have to pay its cost. They don't go to the child. They'll come straight to the father. And in this situation, the father has to take up the responsibility and pay for the cost. So guardian is responsible for fulfilling the needs of someone and responsible for the profit loss. And another aspect of this word is that in the presence of a guardian or a caretaker, the child has no need to worry. Once there was a child who was having a conversation with his friend, said, I'm going for Hajj. The friend asked him that, do you have the money? He said, no. And he asked him that, have you given the request letter? He said, no. Have you made your passport? He said, no. Do you know the way to do Hajj? He said, no. Do you know where you will stay when you reach Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Tayyibah? He said, no. Do you have the ticket? He said, no. When in answer to every question, he said, no, no, no. The other child, he asked him that, how are you going for Hajj then? And the first child, he answered with a smile, I'm going for Hajj with my father. One sentence, he gave the answer to every question, that I'm going for Hajj with my father. My father, he will take care of my needs. He'll be responsible for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Wali. Allah Ta'ala is the guardian, he is the caretaker. But here a question then comes up that how can a person come under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can a person come under the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there is an ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the answer to this question. Allah says, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. That Allah ta'ala protects, Allah ta'ala is the guardian, He is the mutawalli, He is the wali. Allah ta'ala is the guardian of those who are salihin. Allah is the guardian, the caretaker of the righteous, of the pious. So it means that whoever leaves sin and they adopt good deed, they start living a salih life, a righteous life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes that person's guardian, his caretaker, his protector. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the guardian of that person, Allah ta'ala sets all his affairs right. Allah prevents that person from being caught up in problems. Allah ta'ala makes easy for him the way out of his difficulties. Allah ta'ala takes them out from the appearance of zillat, gives them izzat and honor. And he, in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects that person just like a father protects his child. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. Our job is only that we have to free ourselves of sins, to adopt a life of righteousness, salihin, and then we can come under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we become amongst the righteous, the next step is automatic. This is the promise of Allah ta'ala. Several promises Allah has made. This is one of them. That whoever becomes righteous, salih, the next step is automatic. Allah ta'ala, the mercy of Allah ta'ala grabs that person and he will always find the shore. When does this happen? How does the person get this mercy of Allah ta'ala? When a person becomes salih, when a person becomes righteous and pious. It's mentioned in the hadith that, oh my servant, if you offer a few rakat of prayers in the beginning of the day, then I'll help you in your affairs throughout the day. So the task for a believer is very easy. We, alhamdulillah, are people who have iman. We are at the level of iman, alladhina amanu. Now if you can go and take that second step, which is salih, become amongst the, not just mu'mineen or muslimin, or mu'minat or muslimat, but take that second level and become amongst the salihin and salihat, then Allah Ta'ala will become our guardian. Allah Ta'ala will take care of our needs. And whoever has lived a life of righteousness and piety, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes their guardian. Allah Ta'ala helps them. Yani they have the mercy of Allah Ta'ala always in their life. It's like the hidden hand of Allah Ta'ala is always at their back, always guiding them to make the correct decisions, always taking them out of difficulty. If you look at Quran, we don't have to go far away to find such stories. Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she was the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was a saliha. She would remain engaged in the worship of Allah ta'ala throughout the day in Baitul Muqaddas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, was her caretaker, yani in terms of the dunya. But her real caretaker was actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ajeeb, that one, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam had to go away for travel. The travel took him more time than expected. And he was coming back and very worried that Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam wouldn't have anything to eat. She would be forced to starve. When he came, what happened was very ajeeb, very strange. Kullama dakhala alayha Zakariya al-mihrab wajada indaha rizqah. When Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam entered her place of worship, he saw that Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam is eating. She is eating fruits. She was eating fruits that were out of season. So then he asked that, Ya Maryam, Anna laki haza, where are you getting these fruits from? And she said, Huwa min indillah. These are coming from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuku man yasha bighayri hisab. Allah gives this to whomsoever He wills without measure. So we see how Allah Ta'ala takes care of His servants. When a person becomes righteous, they come under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he left his wife Amma Hajra alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam near Baytullah Sharif in a valley where there was nothing. And he was leaving in silence. There's no greenery, no leaf, no tree, there's no water, nothing. Dry hills and extreme heat. So Amma Hajra alayhi salam, she asked, why are you leaving us here? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to be silent. So he remained silent. She asked him again, he was still silent. Third time she changed her question, are you leaving us here because of the Amr of Allah, the command of Allah? And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam nodded his head in the affirmative, yes, I'm leaving you here by the Amr of Allah. And after listening to this, she said that if you're leaving us here by the Amr of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let us go to waste. Now see how pakka, how firm her iman was. Now whatever food and drink she had, it finished in a few days. No water to drink, no water to live. The mother is thirsty and the infant, he is also thirsty. So then Amma Hajra alayhi salam, she starts running between the hills of Safa and Marwa to search for water for her child. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so pleased with this amal and her search for water, with this tawakkul, reliance on Allah, that Allah ta'ala caused a spring of water to gush forth. The Zamzam, it came out from beneath the feet of her child. What is amazing and very interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also decrees good for the children of the righteous people. And one thing is that a person himself comes under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is also another principle, another aspect of this, that Allah ta'ala decrees good for the children of the righteous people. And the proof for this is mentioned in the Quran. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam, they arrived at a village. This is Surah Kahf. And the people of the village were such that they did not even provide them with food. They refused to host them. But Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he went and he said this wall was breaking down, was collapsing. So he did hard manual labor and built that wall and he rebuilt it properly. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked him that the attitude of the people towards us was such that they refused to even give us food and host us and give us water, and you rebuilt their wall for them. And Khidr alayhi salam, he replied that this wall belongs to two orphans. And the special thing about them, about these two orphans, was وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Again, the same word, صَالِحِين. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their father was a pious man, was a salih. And Allah has commanded me that I should protect their treasure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sends his special favors on the children of the righteous, of the pious. If we desire the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also want that special help and assistance of Allah for our children, very easy Quranic recipe is to become amongst the salihin, which is very easy. Two steps, that leave our sins and then start doing righteous deeds. Whoever does these two things, their names are written in the list of the righteous slaves of Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give manu salwa to the Bani Israel to eat for 40 years, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give ma'ida from the sky to the ummah of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not provide for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam out of his treasures? It's just the blame is on us. We haven't come under the guardianship of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala, who can give manu salwa to the ummah of Musa alayhi salam, who can give ma'idah, al-ma'idah to the ummah of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open up the mouth of his treasures for us also, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But we have to come under the guardianship of Allah Ta'ala. What we do is, instead of coming under the guardianship of Allah, we go around coming under the guardianship of our own nafs. We are following our own whims, our own desires. Yani, if a person enters a hostel, he starts getting food from its kitchen. If a person does not enter that building, no one will go and give him food while he's out on the streets. If you want to get food, you have to go inside the kitchen, get the food from there. We don't even try to enter into the list of the righteous slaves of Allah Ta'ala and to the Saleh. We desire to look at that person, look here, look there, look slightly in front. We enjoy the colorful, the colors and the glitters and the glamour. We give in to the desires of our shahwat, of our nafs and shaitan. We fulfill the whims of our nafs. And this is the reason why our names are still not on that list. And now we should reflect. This is the time, this is the month of Ramadan to reflect how much loss has that person suffered, that for a few moments of pleasure, for a few slight, trivial, insignificant moments of joy, we have caused our names, you know, that person has caused his name to be removed from the list of the righteous servants of Allah. Moments, you know, we make mistakes for those moments, and then we voluntarily orphan ourselves of this great mercy of Allah, of coming under the guardianship, under the care of Allah. And even if you ask an atheist that if a person comes under the guardianship of Allah, that we will say that that person is set for his life. Allah is his guardian. Yani, that's what we are voluntarily orphaning ourselves from. Our job is very, very simple. That after Iman, we just take the second step, make Tawbah from all our sins, and then become people of Amalus Saleh. Once we enter that list of Saliheen, Allah Ta'ala will not only help us, Allah will help our children, Allah will improve all our affairs, whether it's dini, dunyavi, relationships, everything. Allah will help us. Allah will help our relationships. Allah will solve our problems. Let me share with you a few other stories so that we can understand this help of Allah Ta'ala and how Allah Ta'ala sets everything right for a person. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah was known as Umar Asani, very just, adil ruler, very pious man. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also gave him governorship, but despite that uhda and rank, he kept himself on the path of right and of piety, which is very difficult. Then when you have a status and a role and honor, and still to be able to stay away from all kinds of temptations of the dunya. And he lived an extremely simple life and was always engaged in trying to please Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When the time of his death came near, a friend came and said that, Umar, you were very unjust to your children. And when he asked that, how? He said, look, the governors before you left so many treasures for their children, left so many cultivating lands, arranged so many estates for them, and you, look at you. You have left nothing for your children. You have 11 sons, and you do not do anything for them. And after hearing this, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah, he was lying on the bed, he sat up and said, that, listen to what I have to say. If I have raised up my children well, if I've done their proper tarbiyah, taught them good deeds, put them on this path of righteousness, so if I have made them saliheen, then it is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa yatawalla saliheen, that Allah becomes the guardian, the caretaker of the righteous. So therefore, I'm giving my children into the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they do not become pious and are wrongdoers, transgressors, then I don't want to help them in any of their wrongdoing. And after saying this, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah, he passed away. But the person who came after him, the next governor, he needed good men for the governorship of different areas. And therefore, in the entire area, he could not find anyone more educated, well brought up, well suited, with good akhlaq, character, than the sons of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah. Therefore, he made one son a governor of one province, then a second son governor of second province, and a third. And till this continues, and one person he reported that I saw that the sons of the previous king, the sons of the previous governor, who had been left large estates. Such things that came to pass, all of those things were finished. And I saw them begging at the door of Jami Masjid. And at that same time, the 11 sons of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah were appointed governors of 11 districts of the Muslim Empire. Allahu Akbar Kabira. These things, they happen because of righteousness. The sons who were left so much inheritance, they did not have bread to eat at night. He used to be standing at the doors of Jami Masjid. And those who were left no inheritance, but their father made them pious amongst the Salihin, all the 11, every single one of them at their time were governors, at the same time were governors of 11 provinces. People think that I will leave a plot of land for my son. I will set up some factories. I'll make a shop. I'll leave a business behind. I'll have a bank account. These are all sand castles. They can fall anytime. They're webs, web, spider's web. Very delicate. There's no surety, there's no guarantee. What are the actions which are permanent, which are long lasting, which have permanent results? Wahuwa yatawalla salih. It is to become amongst the salihin, righteous. We ourselves should become righteous. We should make our children righteous. And then we can hand them over to that being who is Al-Wali, into the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them, there can be no other protector greater than Allah ta'ala. For whom Allah becomes their protector, their guardian, then they don't need anything else. On a scale, when you have on one side the madad, the help, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that side of the scale will always be heavy. You can put everything on the other side, but on the side of the scale where you have Allah, that side will always be heavy. There's a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. He was involved in one battle. And at that time, he called his son Abdullah and made some wasiyat to him and said that, "I think that today I will be martyred. So I want you to give my, I have some amanat of people. People have kept some amanat with me, and I want you to give it to them, give their amanat back to them." So he was making all this wasiha, and while he was giving this counsel to his son, he also said one statement that, "Look, I have a lot of amanat. People trusted me, they viewed me to be trustworthy. And I used to always tell the people that you're giving this to me as amanat, but I'm taking this as a loan. Because if I waste your amanat, then I will not have to pay you anything back. But I don't want to give you any loss. So I'm taking this as a loan, and then I will use this money. And then whenever you need your money, you can take it back. Because loan needs to be repaid. Amanat, if some loss happens to my, then it's lost. I don't need to pay it back. And in that case, you will suffer. So I'm taking this as a loan. So in that case, eventually, ultimately, I have to pay you back." So he would take many, a lot of wealth, or people would come and rather give it to him, and he would take it as a loan. So in his wasiyat to his son, he said that, "Ya Bunayya, O my son, in ajasta an shayyin minhu," said, "whenever there's any difficulty comes to you in repaying this loan or in any aspect of your life, fasta'in alayhi maulaya. Fasta'in alayhi maulaya. Then just take the name, just seek help, seek assistance from my Mawla." So he gave this nasiha. Abdullah, his son, says that, "I was not able to understand who the Mawla is. Because back in that tradition, Mawla could be maybe some, this person is my master, you can take help from him." So he said, "I was a bit confused about who is the Mawla of my father, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. So I asked my father that, I haven't understood, who is your Mawla?" And he replied, "Allah." And then Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away. His son, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he says that whenever people used to come to me and they would say that give us our loan back. And at that time, I would be facing some difficulty in arranging the money. So at that time, I would make dua to Allah with the following words: Ya Mawla Zubair, O the Mawla of Zubair, Iqdi anhu daynahu, that make arrangements for repaying this loan, Fayakziyahu, and then arrangements would have been made for me. I would see that the halat would become such that I would find enough wealth to be able to pay them back. You can say these are a bit old stories. Let me give you a recent story which we heard from our own teacher and Sheikh. This is about Madina Munawwara. There was a pious Qari Sahib who used to live there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him have a lot of many children. He had nine sons and then daughters in addition to that. And then, mashallah, he had set everyone on this path of righteousness. Every child was a Hafiz, Qari, someone Mufti, Alim. And he used to be in Madina Munawwara. And so the Sheikh says that when I was there, and I was sitting there, he's narrating this story, that I was sitting in the Masjid Nabawi, and this Qari Sahib came to me and said that I'm very sad today. And I asked the Qari Sahib, Qari, is everything okay? Is everything fine? And he said, today I'm very worried. So I asked him that, why are you worried? And he began to tell a story that my eldest son has now become a mufti and he is also very mature. And we have a very big family, but we live in a house which has only 3 rooms. Now, at the time of his marriage, we're trying to get him married, but we don't have another room that we perform his marriage and then establish residence for him separately there. And in Saudi Arabia, you know that the expenses of marriage, they're wholly undertaken by the groom's family. So it's not an easy matter for me. And I'm very anxious. I'm very, very, very sad. And then he began to say that I don't know what I should do in such a situation. And then I was already so sad. And then one of my friends, childhood friends, he came to me. And I was discussing this matter with him, and he said very harsh words to me. He said to me that you walk around like a very religious person, a Maulvi, but look at what have you done for your children? You were out of your senses. You should have made someone, you could have made one or two people religious, Hafiz or a Qari or a Maulana or a Mufti, and you could have been, that would have been enough. And then the rest, you could have made one an engineer, another doctor, and a businessman, and a lawyer. These children would have been earning, and they would be bearing the burden of the house together with you. But you're so, very without intelligence. You're very stupid that you made all of these people, religious. Now, neither can, you can feed them, neither can they feed you. Now, sit and think what you have to do. And he said that he is my childhood friend and he broke my heart. He broke my heart to the extent that I began to feel that I've committed a very big crime by making my sons religious and giving them religious education and prioritizing religious education. So in the end, he said that now go find a match for your son. Try as you may, but you will still not find a proposal for him. So after listening to him, I became even more depressed. And that's why I've come here. And I want you, I request you to pray, pray to Allah Ta'ala that Allah grants ease in my situation. So the Sheikh said that, okay, we're going to go and in the night, we're going to go and to Masjid al-Nabi and then you can come and then we can make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala together. So next khair, they went and they made dua. The next day, while the Sheikh was sitting in Masjid Nabi after Isha Salah, the same Qari person he came, and this time he was smiling. He was smiling and he had a box of sweets in his hand. And when we saw, there was a sparkle on his face. Well, yesterday he was very sad, now he looks very happy. So he came and he then told the whole story that actually what happened was that yesterday we were going to see a match for our eldest son. And he had said that please make dua that everything goes well. So we asked him that how did it go? And he said that Allah Ta'ala is very merciful. Allah Ta'ala showered his incredible, immense mercy. So we asked, what happened? He replied that, we got to know that there was a Pakistani engineer and he had passed away in an accident. And in his house, there was a young, he had a young daughter who was very educated, beautiful, good manners, good akhlaq. So when we found out about this girl, I took my wife to their house. And after me, I realized that the father, they placed me in one room and the women were in the other room. And my wife, she met the wife of that engineer. And after about 2 minutes, she came back. And she said, I want to meet you. I want to talk to you privately. And I became worried that I think they have refused our proposal. So when I met my wife, I asked her that what happened. And she was breathless. She kept saying, it's done, it's done, it's done. I asked her, what's done? When she calmed down a little, she replied that I've never seen such a beautiful girl in my life. When I proposed to the girl's mother, she said that my husband was a very pious man. And he died in a car crash. However, he had given this instruction to us, this wasiya, that he instructed me that marry all our daughters to religious scholars. And I'm going to do as my husband instructed me to do. And then she began to say, then now should I tell you another thing? So I asked her, tell me what happened. So she said that Alhamdulillah, we have nine sons and she has nine daughters. And every daughter is 2 years younger than each of our sons. So we have said yes to all the nine sons and nine daughters. One is elder, we will marry him off. Then the next one will grow older, then we'll marry him. Today, in about 2 minutes, I have performed the engagement of nine kids. Wahuwa yatawalla Allah is the guardian, the protector, the caretaker of the righteous. Today, for those who are parents who they know how, if you have one daughter and very difficult to find a suitable proposal, you get so worried about this. Only the parents, they know best about what happened in their heart at that time. They become upset. And when the help of Allah Ta'ala comes, then in a matter of minutes, nine rishtas, nine relationships are settled. Subhanallah. So, wahuwa yatawalla salihin. Those people who repent from their sins, then Allah Ta'ala helps automatically comes upon them. And this would not be the best way to sort of say this, but Allah Ta'ala's favor is like sometimes officers say that you favor someone out of the way. For Allah Ta'ala, everything is in the way, nothing is out of the way. But Allah Ta'ala supports these salihin. In the same way that nowadays officers sometimes say and say out of the way they're supporting their relatives. So for us, the easy way is that we can come under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the one who has more contacts or has contacts with high officers, the one who has more resources, people say about that person that yes, this person have hands which are very long. He has long connections. Allahu Akbar. A person who becomes righteous, their hands also become very long. They can now take and reach up to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our teachers used to say, just to make us understand, that the hands of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the righteous slaves of Allah ta'ala, are in the pockets of Allah ta'ala, pockets of the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very famous story of Rabia Basriya. Once she was a pious woman, very worshipping, a worshipper, Abida, Arifa. Once she fell asleep while worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she covered herself with a cloak. And a thief came along, entered her place of worship. He saw someone sleeping with the cloak. There was nothing of value was present inside the room. So he thought that I'll just take whatever I can get. So he decided to steal that cloak. And as soon as he picked up that cloak and turned to leave, he felt dizzy and was unable to see anything at all. He got really scared, dropped the cloak. When the cloak left his hand, then he could see some light near the door. And then he raced away. And at that point, he heard a voice which said that if one friend is asleep, the other one is awake. If one friend is sleeping, the other one is awake. This is Wahuwa Yatawalla Salihin. Allah becomes the protector, the guardian of the righteous. In the books, there's written, there's an old woman who used to live in a small, you can say, small dwelling house. And Allah, subhanAllah, her small, you can say, cottage was right next to the palace of the king. And the king, he planned to extend his palace, which required that the old woman's house had to be destroyed. So the police and the palace guards, they came, said to her, that, look, the king has to expand and you should leave. She said that I can't go anywhere. There's nothing, there's no place where I can go. I won't leave. The guards responded that, well, we can build you another house somewhere else, but you'll have to leave this place. And that woman said that, look, I've spent my entire life living here, and now I don't want to be disturbed in old age. Where the guard, they left after that, and the woman, she left town to visit one of her relatives. At that time, the guards were instructed to destroy the woman's house. Once she had left, the guards, they completely destroyed the house. Now, Allah Kishan, when she returned back after a month, she saw a magnificent palace erected and built in exactly the same place as her small house. And she asked people that, where is it? Where is my house? And people told her that you were away, you were not present here. So the king demolished your cottage and built his palace. And when she heard this, she looked towards the sky and said these words that, O Allah, I was not present, but you were present. O Allah, I was not present, but you were present. And as soon as she said this, the roof of the king's palace came crashing down. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. If you think about this, it's so easy for a person, someone who believes, when all you have to do is just leave sin, repent sincerely. That's it. We invite these problems upon ourselves because of our own disobedience. On the other hand, if you do the work of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will take care of our affairs. Allah says in Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهُ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. That all those who believe, if you will help Allah, if you will help this religion of Allah, deen of Allah, follow the deen of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And Allah will yusabbit aqdamakum, Allah will stabilize your footing, Allah will make you mustaqim, Allah will firmly establish your feet on this earth. Sometimes people complain that the other person doesn't love me. The wife says, my husband doesn't love me. Husband says, wife doesn't love me. The solution is to have become people of piety. Allah will stabilize your relationship. People have problems in their rizq. The solution is to become amongst the salihin. Allah will stabilize your rizq. Allah becomes the guardian. Allah says, yusabbit aqdamakum. Allah will firmly establish, implant your feet on the ground. Obviously, if you don't have money and wealth and a house, then your feet are still hanging. You're not firmly established. And in the ayat of the Quran is saying that Allah will firmly will give you whatever needs you need. whatever requirements, necessities of life, Allah will give that to you and make you firmly established in this dunya. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If we work for the deen of Allah, Allah will stabilize you. Allah will give you izzah. Allah will fix all the wrongs, all the problems in your life. This protection comes when we live and we follow the deen of Allah, the command of Allah. There's a story of an Arab. He was preparing for Jummah Salah. And at that time he was told that the water will only be available for his agriculture, you know, his field that he used for agriculture, will only be available to you during this time of prayer. Now he had to make a choice. Either he goes, prays the Friday Jummah, in which case his fields will remain dry and the crops may die, or he attends to the crops and he leaves the Jummah. So his wife told him that we have to attend to the fields. This is very important. Our sustenance depends on this. And he said that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called me for Jummah Salah. And so I will leave my house to pray the Salah. And then after the Salah, I'll see what happens. So he left his house for the masjid. And he was told on the way that one of his camels is also lost. And in Arab culture, it's quite, you know, if you don't search for the camel immediately, then the animal may be lost for forever, because he can travel a lot of distance by the time you start searching for him. So the quicker you want to begin your search, the better it is, the greater the chances that you will be able to find the camel back. So he thought that the crop can die, he thought that the camel can be lost, but Allah is my Rabb. Let me go first, offer my Jummah Salah. I'll deal with these things later on when I come back. He went to the Jummah, he went to the masjid, prayed his Jummah Salah. And then when he was done, then he came back to his place. On his return, he saw that Ajib, that his fields have already been watered by someone. And he was amazed that who watered my fields? So the farmer who was his neighbor, he replied that, look, I decided to water my plants and this was turned for my water. So the water, I was watering my plants, but for some reason the water wasn't enough for me. So I used the water pump, which is common to both your land and my land. And when I did that, your fields automatically received water. Subhanallah. So that Arab, he thanked Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you have taken care of this one problem that I had. Then he returned home and he asked about the camel. When he came back home, he was amazed again to see that, mashallah, the camel is also tied in the courtyard. He asked his wife about this and she said that something ajeeb, amazing happened, that when I was getting done with my kitchen work, I heard the dogs barking outside. And I went out and saw that the dogs were running behind our camel and they were chasing it back. And the camel came back into the courtyard and I tied the rope around its neck. When the man, he heard this, he said that I preserved the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala managed my affairs for me. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. We have stopped thinking this way. We try to manage everything ourselves. And the reality is that we cannot do so. We are not tapping into this sifat, this attribute of Allah. We are not developing this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah wants to be our al-wali. Allah is our guardian. Allah is our caretaker. We just have to present ourselves and come under the guardianship of Allah. Why manage everything ourselves when you have such a loving guardian? Allah wants to be our manager, our guardian. Let's just make intention of becoming the righteous servants of Allah so that Allah Ta'ala becomes our caretaker. How ajeeb and strange that we are able to trust our own self. We can trust other people. We can trust every other being except Allah. Are we not capable of trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can trust our father, our elder brother, our uncles very easily. But why can't we have that same level of trust in Allah, in the promises of Allah? When Allah is our guardian, Allah is our protector, Allah is our caretaker. And how very easy to come under the guardianship. Tonight we can just repent from all our sins, make tawbah for all our sins, just hand ourselves over to Allah Ta'ala under His guardianship. Once we give ourselves up to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then we'll see how Allah Ta'ala becomes the manager, the guardian of all our affairs. If someone's father is a millionaire, and if his son goes to someone else asking for a low-paying job, the father will naturally be very upset that I'm a millionaire, billionaire, and you're going getting this clerk job. I have millions and you're suffering the humiliation of asking, begging other people for this meager sum of money. This is the example that comes to mind when we think about that instead of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the infinite treasures of Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala wishes to give to us, we go to other than Allah, ma siwa Allah, ghayrullah. Allah is saying, I'll solve all your problems if only you come to me. So how can a person become amongst the righteous? We have to repent from our previous sins and make a firm resolution to be pious, to be salih in the future. And we are insan, so if we commit a mistake, if we falter, then we just have to repent, make tawbah again. We're not like angels who are free from faults. So if we do end up sinning later, then we just should immediately ask Allah Ta'ala for maghfirah, again with sincerity, with the nadama, with the regret. And this is the way. This is the way we'll be counted amongst the righteous. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will manage all our problems and our issues. For us, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough. In one hadith, the Prophet says, let me explain this further. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that I was once riding with the Prophet on the back of an animal, and the Prophet said to me that, O son, that should I teach you a few words? And then the Prophet taught me those words, that Ahfiz Allah, that you protect Allah, yani the commandments of Allah, Ya'fazak Allah, Allah will protect you. Yani you keep attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will protect you. That whoever is attentive to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will then grant that person his care, his guardianship. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was asked by his people, Bani Israel, that there's a lot of musibah before you that used to come our way. And even now that you're with us, still there's so much musibah. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied that if you have any musibah in your life, ista'inu billah wasbiru. Seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt patience. Two things. Seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient. And when that calm, Bani Israel, when they had sabr and they asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala helped them. And for us, the ummah of the Prophet, we also have the same hukum. Allah in Quran says, Wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. Subhanallah. Allah is telling us how to take help from Allah. What is the way to get help from Allah? First thing is, have sabr within yourself. Sabr, endurance, perseverance, istiqamah. Hold tight to the deen of Allah, to the commandments of Allah. And second thing, namaz, salah. Seek help from salah. And subhanallah, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 23 years, he used to cry for his ummah. No mother cries for his ummah, for her child, for 23 years. No father cries for his child for 23 years. But the Prophet ﷺ, he cried 23 years for his ummah, for me and you. And the Prophet ﷺ did not leave us like an orphan, did not leave us without any help and protector. But the Prophet ﷺ told his ummah, gave us these teachings, that, oh my ummah, whenever you feel any need and you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, the way to ask Allah ta'ala for his help is that make salah, and after salah make dua. This is the solution, that any time after me, I will no longer be with you. But after me, if you're in some difficulty, at that time what you have to do is you have to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. When you are working in some office, so initially you have to fill in the application. If you want to go for Hajj, fill in the application. If you want to get the visa, fill the application. In the same way, if you want to get the help of Allah, fill the application. And the application, the name of the application is Salah. And this was the way of the early Muslims. Any musibah, any difficulty, they would make wudu, pray 2 rakah nafil, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solve their issues. These 2 rakah nafil and then dua after that. This is the way to get the help of Allah. And today, if we feel that our halat are difficult, then we should make this amal part of our life, part of every day of our life. At some part during the day or during the night, at tahajjud, we just pray 2 rakah. And then after that, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah send us your help and assistance. Through salah, a person gets the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fatawa, Tatar Khaniya, it's written that whoever prays the sunnat of the fajr in their house before the leave of the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them 3 blessings. Whoever prays the sunnat of Fajr in their home before leaving for the masjid, Allah gives them 3 blessings. And in any case, Fajr sunnah itself is a sunnah, that itself is sawab. But 3 additional blessings are given. First, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He finishes the household, jo jhagde hote, the fights that happen, in-house fighting, the barakah of those 2 rakah sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends those fights. Now if you look at our environment, our society, our homes, illa mashallah, most of the people, their homes, their houses, there's so much musibah in terms of relationships. Children, they don't listen. Sometimes there's problems between spouse, sometimes other relatives. So the first inam, blessing that a person gets, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that person from these in-house fightings. Then second, that person who prays Fajr Sunnah in their house before they go for masjid, second inam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands their rizq, expands the provision of that person. Yani Allah ta'ala solves the issues of job and business. Allah ta'ala solves the issues of loans, of market, of risk. Allah solves their financial difficulties. And the third inam, which is perhaps the greatest inam, that at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that person to leave this world with the salamati of his iman, with iman in his heart and on his tongue. So from this just one example, we can understand that these teachings of the Prophet if we act on these teachings, then we will also be able to get these ni'mat. We can also get these ni'mat in our life. In Muslim, Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Ibn Adam, son of Adam alayhi salam, yani O people, that if you can pray 4 rakat at the beginning of the day, this is referring to Fajr, 2-2. Then because of the barakah of that 4 rakah, I will fix and I will help you throughout the task during that day. Subhanallah. Now, how many people are regularly they do ihtimam of their Fajr Salah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising that you pray four rakah in the morning, early part of the morning, and I'm going to take care, I'm going to help you in your affairs during the whole day. This namaz and salah is a very ajeeb ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has given to us. This, through this, a person can become the mahbub of Allah ta'ala. Ma taqarraba ilay lal'abdi bi, that when a person, they draw the qurb of Allah ta'ala through their fara'is, qurb bil fara'is. And then they can also get qurb bil nawafil. So we should ask Allah Ta'ala for His help through this amal of salah. The more and more we pray, the more we ask, then a person draws the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come near to Allah Ta'ala. Once in America, there was a billboard on which it was written, if you feel distant from God, guess who moved? Very beautiful thing. And waqi, it's so true that Allah Ta'ala does not take a step back. If we feel distant from Allah, it's because we have taken a step back. If we, from the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet, can remove sin and enter into this deen, enter into this life of righteousness and piety amongst the salihin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us. Then Allah Ta'ala will become our wali, Allah will become our mutawalli, Allah will become our guardian, our caretaker. We will have success in this dunya, we'll have success in akhirah. And if there is a person who has forgotten this door of Allah, then there's another hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says about that person, that, O Ibn Adam, that if you can take out some time for my ibadah and then worship me, I will amla'u sadraka ghina. I'm going to fill your chest, fill your breast, fill your heart with ghina. I'm going to make you self-sufficient. I'm going to increase you in your risk. This is ghina, ghani. I'm going to make you rich, wealthy. Amla'u sadraka ghina. Wa asuddu fakrak. And I'm going to take away, I'm going to block all the doors of poverty upon you. I'm going to stop fakr and poverty and hunger from you. Subhanallah, you increase, take, and it's not just busy yourself in ibadah every moment. Allah says, just take out some time for ibadah, my ibadah every day, and I'm going to give you this ghina, this ni'mat of ghina, and I'm going to save you from poverty. And then the other part, that if you don't do this, then I'm going to fill your heart with work, with shughal. You will be busy with your work. And your fakr, that fear of poverty, will also not go away. That fear of poverty will be with you all the time. That first, that your work will not finish. And second, that there will be this fear in your heart. This about what will happen tomorrow. Sometimes we see this in our life. People, they earn so much. Husband, wife, both are earning, but still they're not able to meet their expenses. So solution lies on only one path, which is that we turn our gaze away from makhluk, and we put our gaze towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the solution. I want to end, but before I end, just want to share with one last hadith with you. Since many people are going through difficulties of their halat, whether it's job or some other aspect of their life, and they ask that if there is anything we can recite. So Durr-e Mansoor, Hazrat Buraida radiallahu ta'ala an, he narrates that there are 10 kalimat that if a person can recite these 10 kalimat, then Allah Ta'ala will be sufficient for that person. Allah will be kafi for that person. And we thought that since this is also relevant to our talk today, we'll share this with you. Five of these kalimat, they pertain to the dunya, and five pertain to akhirah. And if you can remember these 10 statements, even if you remember one every day, in 10 days we can learn the hadith. And we can then use this as part of our du'as. And then if we use this and we make du'a to Allah Ta'ala with this, then Allah Ta'ala will help us in our affairs. First, Hasbi Allahu Lidini. Hasbi Allahu Lidini. That Allah is sufficient for me, for my deen. Yani, there should be no fitna or fasad in my deen. Sometimes fitna comes in our deen through shubhat, doubts, skepticism. Sometimes it comes through shahwat, desires of the nafs. So Allah Ta'ala will protect that person from both types of fitnas. Our deen will remain salim and protected, preserved. Second, Hasbi Allahu lima ahammani. Hasbi Allahu lima ahammani. That Allah is sufficient for me for all those things which give me grief, which make me parishan, which distress me. So sometimes a person is distressed. This thing upsets a person, their job upsets a person, someone is giving a tough time. So Hasbi Allah, my Allah is sufficient for me in this matter. Number three, Hasbi Allahu liman bagha ala. That my Allah is sufficient for me, whoever tries to rebel against me, whoever tries to do sarkashi, whoever tries to do some zulm upon me, baghawat. And if there's some person who is trying to exact a revenge upon us, or trying to do some baghawat or rebellion or something like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for such people. Allah ta'ala is enough for me against such people. Number four, Hasbi Allahu liman hasadani. That my Allah is sufficient for me with respect to those people who are jealous and envy towards me, or envious towards me. For those people who do hasad towards me, Allah is sufficient. Allah is sufficient for me. Sometimes it happens when living in a work environment, people are pulling your leg pulling. So Allah Ta'ala saves that person from the hasidin, from the hasad of the hasidin. Number five, Hasbi Allahu liman kadani bisu'in. Hasbi Allahu liman kadani bisu'in. That my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me for every such person who tries to plan and plot evil against me. Now, this can be any person who is planning, plotting. We don't know our enemies. We don't know, maybe outside they're smiling, when inside they're boiling. So this can be any. This can be one person. This can be a whole jamaat. So whoever that person is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for us. Allah will protect us from that person. So these five things were about the dunya. And then the next five were about akhirah. Number one, or number six, Hasbi Allahu indal maut. That my Allah is sufficient for me at the time of death. Because the time of death, that moment of death, is the very delicate, very fragile moment of a person's life. We would want to live in such a state that we have this ni'mat of iman in our heart. Shaitan attacks his level best at that time to deprive us of this ni'mat. Hasbi Allah in the maut. Allah is sufficient for me at the time of maut. And then number two, Hasbi Allahu in the mas'alatil qabri. That my Allah is sufficient for me at the time of the questioning of the grave. The questioning that starts in the grave. Then Munkar Nakir, they ask those questions. Allah is sufficient. Number three, Hasbi Allahu ind al mizani, that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me at the time of mizan, when the actions will be weighed. Number four, Hasbi Allahu ind al sirat, that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me at the time of crossing the bridge, the sirat. And last, number five, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi unib. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi unib. These are 10 statements. If we can recite them after our salah, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for all our masail, all the problems of our dunya and the problems of akhirah. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become sufficient for us in all our affairs of the dunya and the affairs of akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our mistakes. May Allah ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to make true tawbah. And may Allah ta'ala include our names also amongst the salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al muham allahumma salli ala sayyidina muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba man yuqarribuna ilayk. اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وتوبة قبل الموت وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عني. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.